We are turning to the passage from whence that hymn was written concerning John chapter 14 tonight. John chapter 14. We'll read from the opening verse of the chapter. John chapter 14. The Lord Jesus Christ is the speaker here. And he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." We'll end our reading at the end of verse 14. Let's just briefly pray. O God, our Father, we thank thee for thy grace and thy goodness. We praise thee for the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a thrill, what a privilege, O God, to again be behind this pulpit to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. We thank thee for the call of God to be a minister of the New Testament. Lord, we pray that we might faithfully discharge our duty and our charge tonight. We pray, Lord, that we might be instant in season and out of season, that we might reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Grant us the ability, therefore, to preach the word. Realize that we do not, in and of ourselves, have this inherent ability to preach, but it must, O God, come from thee. And so we pray for the infilling of God the Holy Ghost. Grant, O God, this preacher power and unction, and, dear God, the help of God the Holy Ghost, as we declare what thou hast given for us to declare, that which we have heard in secret, help us to shout from the rooftops. Lord, answer prayer. Grant, O God, the saving of the soul, the restoring of backsliders, the edifying of thy people. Lord, we cry to thee, because, Lord, we have read tonight that whatsoever we shall ask in my name, that shall I do. Lord, answer prayer and make good on thy promise. For we pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen and amen. Something had caught his attention. Something had arrested his curiosity. It wasn't that the event itself was unusual. It was more what didn't happen that was abnormal. Who I'm speaking about, it was none other than Moses. The event was that of the burning bush at the backside of the desert. As I said, it wasn't the fact that the bush was burning that was unusual. For many, a bush would have self-combusted in the burning heat of the desert. It was more the fact that the bush that was burning remained unaffected by the flame within. With curiosity now being awakened and stirred within his heart and mind, Moses now turns aside to see this great sight He's now on a quest to see why the bush was not consumed. Ever a voice from the midst of that bush halted that man in his advancing steps. Moses, Moses, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. The place whereon thou standest is holy ground, the voice said. The account in Exodus chapter 3 goes on to reveal that it was none other than God himself within the bush. As God converses with Moses, he commissions him a task for him to do. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee on to Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. On hearing of Egypt, Moses, well, let's just say, was not that enthusiastic to obey the Lord. Moses knew that if he just showed up in Egypt, the children of Israel would have asked him in whose name he was coming. And what was he going to say to that question? Well, God told him what to say. Tell him the one who sends you is called I Am That I Am. Fast forward some 1400 years from the events of Exodus chapter 3. And listen with me to a preacher from Galilee speak such words as these. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. No wonder the religious leaders of that day were incensed by this Nazarene's claims. For in using that title, I Am, this preacher was claiming to be God himself, the very God that had appeared to Moses in the burning bush, and used that very phrase, I Am That I Am. And yet that's what the Lord Jesus Christ's very intention was when he used that title, I Am. He wasn't claiming to be God. Rather, he was declaring and affirming that he was God. Tonight we have read the penultimate I Am saying of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John, a gospel that contains all seven I Am statements of the Lord Jesus Christ, spoken to Thomas in answer to the question, how can we know the way? The Son of God said to that man in verse number 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Tonight, I want us to look at this very familiar verse of Scripture. I don't want to look at it in its entirety, but just focus on the opening clause within that verse. When Jesus Christ said, I am the way. I am the way. So tonight, I want to preach a message that I've simply entitled, Christ the Way. Christ the way. There are three questions that I want to pose to you tonight as we think about this statement of the Lord Jesus Christ here in John 14, the verse number 6. The first question that we want to consider, and I trust answer by the help of God, what is the way from and what is the way to? When Christ said he is the way, we asked ourselves the question, what is he the way from and what is he the way to? See, all ways, they start somewhere, and they end and lead somewhere. They all begin at some destination, any way that you want to think of, and they all end at some destination. Even if it is a dead end, it is a place of destination. Well, from where and to where does Christ the way lead us? There are a number of answers to that particular question. I want you to see, first of all, that Christ, who is the way, he leads us from sin unto righteousness. He leads from sin, and he leads us to righteousness. By birth, we are born in sin. Born in sin and shaping iniquity is what the psalmist said. It is then from our sin That which separates us ultimately from God, that we need to be led from and brought then to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We must be brought from our sin and we must be brought on to the righteousness of Christ, because it is only by the righteousness of Christ that a sinner can be brought into fellowship with God and find acceptance with God. It is our sin. It is our sin that leaves us in a lost condition, requiring someone to come and to lead us out of that sin and lead us then ultimately to the only source of righteousness and the only place of salvation. John Phillips, the Christian writer, he tells of a time in his life when he was just a little boy. He went with his aunt and his uncle to a place called Hampton Court. I'm sure you've heard of it. It was the famous palace that was built by Cardinal Wolsey, but then it was confiscated by Henry VIII. In the grounds of that stately palace, there is a maze of hedges that one can go in and wander around and most likely and most possibly get lost within. The hedges are high within it. The lanes are very narrow and they are constantly intersected by other lanes that lead off into different directions. Recounting that particular day, John Phillips, he said, it didn't take long for us to get lost. After arriving back in the middle of the maze a number of times, he said, I began to think, was there any way out of it? At last, the park attendant appeared. You people lost, he said. Indeed we are, we replied. Follow me, he said, and we did. He took this way, turned this way, and a turn that way. He took a turn another way, and then turned this way and that way. And to our relief, Philip said, we were eventually outside of the maze. What made the difference, Phillips asked. He said this, the difference was that we gave up on our own efforts. We admitted that we were lost, and we trusted and followed the one who knew the way. And as I thought about that, I thought, sinner, the way that John Phillips escaped that maze is the same way that you are to be saved. Because you must admit, firstly, that you're lost, just like they admitted that they were lost to the park attendant. And then secondly, you're to cease from all of your own efforts to escape that lost condition that you're found in. And then finally, you are to receive into your life the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Because you see, Christ knows the way. He knows the way out of sin's maze, and he knows the way to God's heaven. The question then for you to ask yourself is, will you trust and follow Christ, who is the way? Christ is not only the way from sin to righteousness, but he is the way from our father the devil to God the Father. Children of wrath, children of disobedience, ye are of your father the devil. These are all biblical statements that describe the state of the sinner prior to their conversion. Those statements may not be very palatable to you. They may not seem to you to be very politically correct in this 21st century. But let me remind you that they are Holy Ghost statements. The Spirit of God has inspired the writer to pen such statements. And they remind me and they remind you that as a sinner, you are off your father the devil. You belong to his family. Ever in the gospel. In the gospel, the sinner, when they believe Christ and they receive Christ, who is the way, they are transferred from one family into another family. We speak of adoption. God adopts the sinner on their turning from sin and trusting in Christ. He adopts the sinner into his family, and they are made then a son and daughter of God, and they have all the rights and all the privileges of the sons and daughters of the Most High. It is God who is the way, who leads us from the family of Satan on to the family of God. So let me ask you this evening, who is your father? I'm not asking who your physical father is, but I'm asking who is your spiritual father? You know, tonight you might be able to repeat the words, and I'm sure you have on many occasions. Our Father, who art in heaven, you've maybe prayed such a prayer. Let me remind you, if you're an unconverted person, that God is not your father. God is not your father. If you've never repented of your sin and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is my prayer tonight that if you've never done that, then tonight will be the day and the night of your salvation. You'll be saved from your sin. You'll be saved out of that family, rescued from the family. Because that's what God does in the gospel. He comes and he rescues men out of the family of the devil. And thank God he brings him into the very family of God. Oh, that God would do that in your life tonight. That has been my prayer and the prayer of the saints of God. In the third place, Christ is the way from the broad way to the narrow way. In his Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ, he spoke of two ways. He spoke about the broad way and he spoke about the narrow way. Those two ways, they represent the pathways upon which the entire human race is treading tonight. You're either on the broad way or on the narrow way this evening. Each of those ways, they lead to almost, and they are, diametrically opposed destinations. The individual who finds themselves on the broad way, that's the way upon which the unconverted walk. That's the way upon which you're walking tonight. It's said to lead to destruction. And yet many, many walk and throng that way. However, on the narrow way, the way in which the believer walks, is a way that is said to lead on to life. And yet the amazing thing is this, that few there ever be that ever find that way. And few there be that ever walk upon that way. Now we ask the question, how does an individual leave the broad way, a way that leads to hell and to destruction? And how do they get on to the narrow way that leads to life everlasting, that leads to heaven and all the bliss that there is theirs? The simple answer is that they come via Christ, who is the way. It is by the trusting in Christ that the sinner is lifted from the broad road and he's set upon the narrow way. Now, while men, they try to leave the broad road by other ways, the way of morality, the way of churchianity, the way of church attendance, the way of good living, the way of religious exercises, all such ways terminate at dead ends. But when we come by Christ the way, then thank God our feet are lifted on to the narrow way. And so, sinner, in this house tonight, if you're ever to get on to the narrow way, a way that is to lead to life everlasting, you must come via Christ, who is the way. Staying as you are, remaining in your sin is not an option. It's not an option if you ever want to get into God's heaven. You must leave the broad way by a conscious choice. You must leave the way of sin and you must walk the new way. A narrow way, a way of holiness and a way of righteousness. This is the way to heaven. By Christ the way. In the fourth place, Christ is the way from earth to heaven. Life is often pictured, whether it be by poets or by writers, life is often pictured as a journey that commences at our day of birth. Now, while the skeptic and while the atheist will tell you that life's journey ends at the grave, ends at death, the Bible makes it clear that death is but the portal, the vestibule through which we enter into God's eternity. How does one get from earth to heaven? Well, the Savior said that no man cometh on to the Father but by me. The matter could be no clearer. In simple, plain language, Jesus Christ said to get to the Father, God the Father who is in heaven, we must come through God the Son. It can be no clearer tonight. It can be no more simpler tonight than that which is found in this particular text. No man can come to the Father but through Christ, who is the only way. I would like to think that everyone under the sound of my voice tonight wants to be in heaven. I would also be pretty sure that everyone intends someday to be in heaven. Let me ask you, have you come to Christ? Have you been saved? Have you entrusted the safe arrival of your soul and of your life? Have you entrusted your safe arrival in heaven to the one who alone can bring you there, the Lord Jesus Christ? The children in our children's meeting, they sang a chorus. And though a simple children's chorus, what truth there is contained within it. One way God said to get to heaven, Jesus is the only way. One way to reach those pearly mansions, Jesus is the only way. No other way. No other way. No other way to go. One way, God says to get to heaven, Jesus is the only way. And so, sinner, be in no doubt about it tonight. If you're ever to reach heaven's mansions, then you must come. You must come by Jesus, who is the way. It is not this preacher that has said it. It is not this denomination that says it. But it is Christ Himself who said it. Jesus said unto him, I am the way. Jesus said it. We move on. Move on to a second question that we think about as we think about Christ who is the way. What can we say about this way? What can we say about this way? Well, there are a number of things that we can say about the way to God the Father through Christ the Son. Can I say, first of all, it is a plain way. A plain way. You know, while man-made religions make the way to heaven sometimes very difficult indeed, adhere to this diktat. Obey this doctrine. Follow this tradition. Do this deed. Say this prayer. Perform this rite. Go on this pilgrimage. Live by this principle. The way to heaven is presented in the Bible as laid out in the most plainest and simplest of terms. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, sinner, could it be any clearer? Could it be any simpler to you tonight? What part, let me ask you tonight in this house, what part of turning from sin and trusting in Jesus do you actually not understand? What is it about that very statement, turning from sin and trusting alone in Christ for salvation? What part of it is hard for you to grasp and fully understand? What is it that you cannot grasp when God says to you that except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish? Can I ask you, individually, you who are unsaved, are the words, are the concepts of the gospel really that hard to understand when a child of 4 or 5 can comprehend it and receive it? I think not. It is a plain way. The way to heaven via the Son, the way to God the Father. Thank God it's a plain way. I'm not here to make it complicated for you tonight. As simply as I possibly can say, sinner, you must leave your sin and you must embrace Christ as He's freely offered to you in the gospel. You must leave and abandon that way of life that you're presently living, and you must by faith receive Christ into your life. Could I be any simpler? Could I be any plainer? If I can, speak to me afterwards, and I'll be delighted to speak with you. It is a plain way. Can I say, secondly, it is a free way. It is a free way. If ever you find yourself traveling down from Belfast to Dublin, you'll come to Junction 10 on the M1. It's called Drogheda North. Whenever you reach there, you'll come to Tollbooths. To proceed any further, On that motorway, you'll have to throw in €1.90, whether into the receptacle or to those that are sitting, the worker within the toll booth. A payment must be made to access the road ahead. If you do not pay, you can proceed no further, at least on the M1. Well, thank God the way to God the Father in heaven has no toll booths on it. Blessed be his name. That way is open and free to all who come. Those who wish to walk that way can do so without any monetary exchange, any payment on the part of the sinner. Whosoever will, let him take freely of the water of life. Thank God the gospel of the Bible, the gospel of Christ is a free gospel to all that would come. One preacher put it like this: nothing to pay, nothing to do, nothing to bring, no merits, no deserving, no preparations. It's all of grace, all the gift of God to the very vilest of the vile. Thank God it's free for all. Believe it tonight. If this way be free, then let me ask you again, sinner, what hinders you? What hinders you, the bankrupt sinner, from coming to Christ tonight? If the way is freely open for you to come through Christ to God the Father, what would hold you? What would hold you back from receiving him this very moment as you sit in this house? What hinders you from coming to Christ freely? Freely he offers himself to you in the gospel. It is a free way. It is a plain way. Thank God it is a finished way. In Hebrews chapter 10, the inspired writer, he speaks about a new and living way through which we can have, the inspired writer said, boldness to enter into the holiest. The way to God the Father by Jesus Christ does not finish short of heaven. It isn't a road that leads you so far and then leaves you just a little short off the destination. No, this way, God's way, Christ who is the way. Thank God he doesn't stop short of heaven. But thanks be to his name, through his death, by his life and his resurrection, Jesus Christ did something metaphorically speaking. He paved a way from earth to glory, whereby the sinner can walk upon and whereby we can gain access, immediate access, into the immediate presence of Almighty God. It is the blood-sprinkled way. It is the way of the cross. There at the cross, Jesus Christ laid down a road, and that road leads from the cross to the throne of God. Thank God it is a finished way. Complete it. Because the work that Christ engaged to do for us, thank God, is a finished work. A work that has opened up heaven for us. Blessed be his name, a new and living way whereby we can enter in. Let me say, sinner, every other way except by Christ will be a way that will fall short of your desired destination. You want to be in heaven? I say every other way will fall short. It's a little bit like the Tower of Babel. They started to build a tower there in the book of Genesis. What was their ultimate destination? They wanted to reach to the very heaven itself. That's what they were planning to do, those men at the Tower of Babel. They desired to reach heaven itself. And that's like every other way that men choose outside of Jesus Christ. It is like the Tower of Babel. It'll reach so far, but it'll never get to its destination. It will never bring you safely into heaven. Your way, the way that you're planning to get to God, it will be a way that will fall short. But tonight I present to you the new and living way. I present to you Christ, who is the way. I present to you tonight that the way to heaven, the way to home, is the way of the cross. It is the way of blood sprinkling. It is by the way of the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is not my way. Again, it's not this denomination's way. It is by Christ, who is the only way. And no man or woman will dare ever come to the Father but by that way. Christ, who is the way to God the Father and heaven itself, can I say in the fourth place, it is the only way. The only way. Some people believe that there are many ways to heaven, and that one of these ways is as good as any other way. The Muslim has his way. The Buddhist has his way. The Roman Catholic has their way. The Protestant has their way. The Mormon has their way. The Jehovah Witness has their way. And all ways eventually lead to heaven. But let me ask you this question. What does God say about such thinking? Well, I'll tell you what God says. Isaiah 43:11. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You know, it doesn't take a genius. It doesn't take someone with a PhD or a master's degree or an undergraduate degree to understand the very teachings contained within those very verses that I've just quoted to you. No one can get to heaven who does not come through Jesus Christ, who is the only Savior of sinners. And it's as simple as that. Jesus Christ did not say that he was a way. Jesus Christ is not a way because he did not use the indefinite article here in John chapter 14 in the verse 6, but rather, as he spoke about the way to heaven, Jesus Christ, he will use the definite article, the. I am the way, the truth, the life. And if you don't come by him, if you'll never reach the Father. It's as simple, and can I say, it's exclusive. It's as exclusive as that. It is as exclusive as that. He is the only way. The only way. Tonight, if you're found in this house going, trying to get in your own way, you would need to abandon and forsake that way. Maybe you've been trying to carve out a way yourself to get to God. Maybe by your good living, maybe by your charitable deeds, maybe by your own morality. I don't know how you've been trying to get to God the Father, but this is God's ordained way. This is God's way. Through Christ and through his finished work, that's the way. You may be trying to come to the Father your own way, but let me remind you of some words that we find over there in Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. The end thereof are the ways of death. God tonight be pleased then to show you the folly of trying to come to God the Father by any other way. You know, tonight the world argues for inclusiveness about how we get to heaven. They argue for inclusiveness. We've already mentioned all the different religions and a multiplicity, many more. But there is this great move today, this great spirit within this world, this idea of inclusiveness. We're all coming to God, and you're going to God by your way, and that's fine, and I'm going to go to God my way, and that's fine. But while the world argues for inclusiveness about how we get to God, the Bible argues for exclusiveness. There's only one way, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. God has sanctioned the way. God has said the way. And His way is through the Son. And only through the Son. And so the question is, will you come God's way? Remember, it is His heaven. And He has the right to tell us how to actually get there. It's His heaven. You've attempted to answer the questions, what is this way from and what is the way to? We've thought about what we can say about this way, but let me close with this question. Have you come to walk this way? Have you come to walk this way? You may say, preacher, that's a very personal and that's a very pointed question that you're asking me tonight. Well, I appreciate that. But you should know me by now that I'm not one of these preachers. That you have to bring some sort of a code book with you to understand what I'm trying to say. And there's plenty of preachers like that around the country. I'm not a gospel preacher that speaks in general terms or speaks in such a manner that it's so vague that people, they leave without being personally challenged in the gospel. I'm not like some paintballer that is trigger happy and just sprays the paintballs in any direction, hoping and trusting, well, we're hoping that it'll hit someone. This preacher tonight is directing. He's focusing and he's aiming this question to every unsaved person in this house tonight. Have you come by Christ the way? Have you come by Christ the way? You know, the judge within the courtroom always pushes for a verdict from the jury. That's his purpose. That's his job. He brings the jury to a point of decision. He pushes that jury to make a decision upon the particular case that is before them. And can I say tonight in this house, I'm here as God's ambassador to push you for a decision on whether or not you're going to come to God the Father through Christ the Son and be saved from your sin tonight. I'm pushing you, lady, for a verdict. Sir, I'm pushing you tonight for a verdict. Not on me, not in this church, not in some believer that's sitting beside you, but I'm asking you to make a choice with respect to Jesus Christ. What are you going to do with Christ who is the way? Now you need to make that this choice. You've but moments to make it. We'll soon be leaving. The last prayer will soon be said. We're going to rise from this house. I'm going to go to the door in the will of God. I'll shake your hand. You're going to go out into the night. The lights in this place will soon be turned off. But before it happens, sir, what are you going to do with Christ? Are you walking on this way? Have you come to God by Jesus Christ? Madam, I asked you, are you going to come by the Savior? Are you going to come to heaven via the only way, the Lord Jesus Christ? Tonight there might be many responses to that question. Have you come to walk this way? You know, some would maybe say, well, I have my own way and I'm just going to take my chances. And I say that if it's not God's way, that way will lead you to hell. That way will lead you to hell. This is not something to play with. This is the matter of your soul. A soul that will live as long as God will live in either His heaven or in God's hell. It's not for you to just take a chance on this. The Bible has made it clear. You will never be able to plead ignorance with respect to salvation and how to be saved if you did not come by Jesus Christ the way. You'll never be able to plead ignorance with respect to that. Jesus said He is the way. So are you going to come by Christ the way? Do not take a chance on the very matter. You know, others, they'll say, well, you know, preacher, others have their way. And if they're going that way, I think I'll follow them. And that way I say to you again, Jesus Christ is the only way. The only way to heaven, the only way to home, the only way to Christ, the only way to the glories of heaven. Christ is the only way. You may say, preacher, am I going to walk the narrow way? Am I going to come by Christ who is the way? Preacher, I have every intention to do that, but not tonight. No, folks, there's going to be a day when there are going to be no more tomorrows. There's going to come a day when you will rise from your bed for the final time. There's going to come a day when you'll take your final breakfast. You'll have dressed yourself for one final time. You'll go to your place of employment for one last time. Because there's coming a day when there's going to be no more tomorrows. What if that day were today? What if before this congregation would meet in such a place like this, meeting again this time, next Lord's Day, what would it be if before that a congregation would gather into this house for your funeral service? What will this preacher say, knowing that you're not a Christian? What will he say if I knew that you listened to this message and you walked out through the door and you refused to come by Christ the way? What will I say? Well, as I've said to this congregation on countless occasions, I will not tell lies at your funeral service. I will not tell lies at your funeral service. I'll try my best to comfort a grieving family. It's not in my heart to be harsh. You should know that. But I will not tell lies at your wake, at your funeral, or around your gravesite. And so make wisely the choice tonight. Are you going to come by Christ the way? He is the only way to the Father. Tonight, come to Him. Repent of your sin. Trust in Christ. And thank God if you do. He'll bring you safely to heaven. Because that's the way. That's God's way. That's the way of the Bible. May God bring you by that way tonight. May God save you. And may tonight you leave this place able to say, I'm now on the King's highway. I'm on my way to heaven. And I'm on my way to home. May God be pleased to work in your heart and work in your life. Let's bow in prayer, please. Let's seek the Lord. Can I say that, as with every Sunday evening, we're here to help you. Maybe God has been speaking to you in recent days, maybe not in this place, maybe just in your home. You've been troubled about spiritual things. God has been challenging you. And here you are tonight under the sound of a very simple gospel message. You've heard this verse on many occasions. You've attended hundreds, tens of funerals. You've heard this verse quoted in such places. Tonight it's dawned upon your soul that you haven't come by this way. You haven't come by Christ. You haven't come by the Savior. Well, tonight let this be the night that you come God's way. So if I can help you, please speak to us at the door. We'll be delighted to take the Word of God and to speak with you about spiritual things. Please don't leave without the Savior. Our loving Father, we thank Thee for Thy grace and goodness. We thank Thee for the way that has been opened up for the sinner to heaven. We thank Thee for the road that was paved by Calvary love, by our Lord and Savior, by His dying on the cross of Calvary. We thank Thee for a way that there is back to God from the dark paths of sin. We thank Thee, O God, for the blood-sprinkled way this new and living way, this way that leads to heaven and home and life and lasting joy and happiness and peace, a way, O God, that is the way of forgiveness and pardon and reconciliation. Lord, we cry to Thee that sinners would choose that way and that we would walk this way. But Lord, in doing so, that they'll find themselves when life's journey is over. They'll find themselves safe in heaven, and that for all of eternity. And so answer prayer, and take that which has been of God to the saving of the soul. For we pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. And amen. Thank you.